I'd like to thank you guys all for being here tonight. All of us are, in fact, true sons of God, which in fact we are, according to Ephesians 1. And if the Koine Greek is studied out, I have found that we are true sons of God, adopted sons, that is, with all the rights and privileges of a true son of God. And that could almost be blasphemous, but to the human mind, but nevertheless, it is a fact, and it is true. And that's what our dear Heavenly Father tells us as being adopted sons, and that certainly he shows forth the love of the Father in his Son, Christ Jesus the Lord. Tonight, we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 6, and we're going to be studying some really important truths of God. And it's very important that we understand these truths, even though Romans 6 was written during the Acts period. These truths that we're going to look over are foundational and they're fundamental to every believer in the blood of Christ, and every believer that has righteousness, the righteousness of God through the blood of Christ. So I pray that these truths can be spoken forth by me this evening. I'm going to say this to a brother, that that the tongue is a small member, and it produces evils, and it's hard to control, and I'm guilty of that. But having said that, we're going to move on to Romans 6 with a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all things through your beloved Son, the Son of God, that came here in the likeness of sinful flesh, but without sin, took upon himself the sins of the world, even though the human mind can't comprehend or understand that. The truth of the matter, according to your word, is that it's true, that you paid the price yourself in the person of the Son, and that your precious word, which is your word, testifies of that. And we're thankful that we have this life, and that you brought us into this world, and that you predestinated us or foreordained us before the foundation of the world, that we would have this life and we would have your precious truth within our hands, and that you would give us the ability to understand you, to understand who we are in you, to have the indwelling Holy Spirit, the other person of God that is our sealer, that's a matter of fact, and that we are called to glory through your Son. The operation of you in the ages is phenomenal. It's incredible what you have done, and all of us as adopted sons are truly thankful that we can even know such things. We pray for your blessing tonight upon the reading of Romans 6, and we pray that these things might come forth, and that we might all understand them as you would have us to understand them, and so that it would be helpful to us in understanding of how you certainly do truly see us in your Son, and it would give us power and blessing to live our lives in this flesh while we're here. In the name of our Lord and Savior, our head, the precious blood of the Lamb, in his name, Christ Jesus, we pray, amen. let's turn to Romans 6. And pretty much what I'm going to do is I'm going to cover the first 14 verses of Romans 6. Because there's a lot of information to get through. And again, I pray that I can even speak forth these truths correctly, because I really believe that they're, even though they're in the book of Acts, that foundationally they're really extremely important to us. I want you to know that, and that's in my heart. Let's turn to Romans 6, 1 through 14. I'll try to explain things as we go. Well, we're going to read it all first, and then we'll go back. Romans 6, 1, it reads, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid." And you wonder, and you think to yourself, were there people that actually realized the freedom they had in Christ by grace, and they decided that they could do anything they wanted to do? Well, we'll find that as the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul works through Romans 6, that this would be ridiculous if they were walking in the truth of Romans 6 even to think of. It goes on in verse 2 to say, "God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by the baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin, once. But in that he lives unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Ye are not under the law, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." And I'm going to end there. The fact of the matter is that you see a lot of similar words in our calling. You see the old man and the new man in Ephesians and Colossians in our calling, amongst other things. And we're going to we'll see that unfold as we go through this study. What Romans 6 is actually about is about the acknowledgement of two awesome subjects in the Word of God. One is justification by faith in the blood of Christ. The other is being sanctified by God Himself. Sanctification. And if we turn back to Romans 3, let's turn back there. We went over that a few weeks ago. Romans 3. We have justification. We have been justified by God, so we should understand what that means. And furthermore, we have sanctification. We have sanctification through the works of Christ. And it's what we read in Ephesians 6, in Romans 6, that not only points to our justification, but it also leads to our sanctification. And you could say, well, that sounds confusing, but actually it's really not. It's actually very practical, and it's actually very real, and it's extremely fundamental to you and I as adopted sons of God, even though these truths are in Romans. Justification, Romans 3:20 through 23, actually through 28. Romans 3:20, and it reads, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law of the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. And as we, hopefully we have time for this, as we go through Romans 6, we find that we were baptized into the death of Christ, and we were also identified in his resurrection. And this is really important to Almighty God, because just as we are justified in the Son, we have many more blessings in the Son, being identified with him not only in his sacrifice, but also in his death, and also in his resurrection. They're all of very important, by the way. And why is this? Well, it helps us understand who we are, by the way, because what I'm going to speak forth tonight is very practical to our lives. It's very practical to who we really are. It's practical to our destiny, and it's practical in how we live here in the flesh for the short period of time that we have, and how God would want us to live, and how he sets forth his power to us to do so, and then why we should respond the way he wants us to. So all of those questions actually are answered basically in this study. It goes on to say in Romans 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, that's the reason, of course, why the Lord came. And therein is the love of God. Because there was nothing that could meet the standards of God except himself in the Son. And that truth in itself is mind-boggling. That truth in itself is more loving than we can imagine. You know, and we can glean, and we can share that truth right now. We can have joy in that truth right now, right here and right now. Verse 25: Who God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believes in him, in Jesus. Where is the boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Well, then, we should know what we should know, because God wants us to know, the Father wants us to know, what justification in His Son is. And the Greek form of justification, one of them, is dikaiose. And what that means is this, is that justification in the Son of God is a divine action by the Father Himself, by which God puts us in right standing before Himself. That is, God Himself, He puts us in right standing before Him, because without the work of the Son, we are concluded in death because of sin. And the only way that He could rectify this problem is to justify Himself, justify us, pardon me, in Himself, through the Son. Awesome. And which, this then, this justification, becomes a dynamic power in our life. See, this justification that's worked through the Son, and through faith in the righteousness in the blood of the Son, we are justified before the Father. And this power that works in us through the Holy Spirit is a dynamic, real power. It's a real thing. And it's needed. This power is needed because being justified by God, according to Romans 6, leads to being sanctified by God. Well, what does that mean? And see, that's what the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, is teaching us in Romans 6. That not only are we justified by our dear Heavenly Father, but we are sanctified by Him. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, after being justified by the blood of Christ, we have a dynamic power through the Holy Spirit working in us. And that dynamic power that we have through the Holy Spirit, it's like, how can you describe faith? How can you understand what faith is in God is in your heart and mind? Well, you know you are a son of God, an adopted son of God. You know it. Well, this is a working of the Holy Spirit. And this is part of that dynamic power that works in you. Otherwise, you would have no clue of who you are in the Lord. You would have no idea of the work of the Son. You could hardly believe that a man could be God in the flesh. You could never believe such things. You would never believe that God was Jesus Christ in the flesh. You'd never believe that. So those things are all working, all this dynamic power working in you. And thus, furthermore, what it does is it brings you to sanctification. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, that's your life. That is your life after you have been justified by God. Because, as the question in Romans 6:1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, that's ridiculous. And the reason why we would know that is ridiculous is because we're sanctified, which means that we are made holy by purification. That is, we are set free from the bondage of sin. And then subsequently, we are set apart by God Himself for His sacred and holy purposes. That's what your life is about anymore. That is what our lives are about anymore. Alright, so you've been justified, but much more, you've been sanctified, you've been set apart, and you're going to find overlapping relationships to this very truth and our calling, no doubt about it. And I don't know if I'll have time to get there, but I will try. So you've been set apart by God. And then the issues of sin and the issues of the old man being crucified in Christ and walking after the new man, and then the facts of yielding yourselves either to one or the other comes in view. All right? I hope that all made sense to you. So after being justified in Christ, you've been sanctified by God Almighty for His work. while you're alive here and now. That's the point. You've been saved and you are working for the Lord now. And while you walk this planet, because you've been separated by Him and for Him. And this sanctification has the Greek forms holiness all over it. That is to say, the word sanctification, the word sanctification, is the Greek the Greek form hagiadzo, and the Greek form for holies, as we find in our calling, is hagios, and the Greek form translated saint is hagion, and I believe that the Greek forms for holy of holies is hagion, hagios, and so sanctification has holiness draped all over it. All right. Let's turn to. I'm going to just list four things that we're going to be taught in, and maybe I'm going to have to go on with this for another lesson or two, because in my studies, I always think that I don't have enough, and I end up having three times as much. It happens all the time. But that's the working of Almighty God and His Word. Sanctification, what does it do? Well, according to Romans 6, you'll find, as we study Romans 6, you'll find the word death a lot, and you'll find the word life a lot. In the first 14 chapters, we can go back to Romans 6, just look at it. Let's look at verse 2. You'll find the word dead a lot, death, and then you'll find the word life a lot, life. Well, you find like in verse 2, how shall we that are dead to sin? Verse 3, into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Verse 4, thereby we are buried with Him by baptism into death. Verse 5, for we've been planted together in the likeness of His death. But then it goes on, okay, but it goes on in verse 6, knowing that our old man is crucified with Him. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dies no more. But then also you'll find that the word life is associated with Romans 6. You'll find, I hope I can find this real quick, I didn't write these down. Verse 8, now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we should also live with Him. All right? Verse 10, for in that he died into sin, but in that he lives unto God. You'll find that these two principles, life and death, are really intermixed a lot in Romans 6. Well, one of the things that sanctification via justification brings is that being sanctified by God, that is holy and separated for His sacred work, you are now walking in what's called the newness of life. You have a union with the Son of God. Not only have you been saved by Him, but you have been buried with Him. Your old man. Your old man has been crucified with Him, and not only that, but you will be raised and have been raised, according to our calling, in Him. And see, at the end of this lesson I had what was called thoughts and questions. And you could say, well, what does that do for me now in this life? Well, the fact of the matter is God Almighty wants you to understand in your mind by what is known as reckoning. You'll find we looked over that reckoning. Logizomai is the Greek form of reckon, of accounting, of counting up. And what the Father wants you to do is He wants you to look at you in the Son like He looks at you in the Son. And see, you could say, well, what does that do for me? Well, that should do a whole lot for all of you. If you understand how God looks at you in the Son, you actually acknowledge that as you live now. This has to do with faith, too, by the way, and belief. So, you know, you can choose not to acknowledge these truths, and then you'll be walking in the dark. You'll be walking in a way that the Father doesn't want you to. Nevertheless, you will be saved. Nevertheless, you are raised in Christ. But you will have a tougher time in the years that you are walking on this planet. And that'll be your fault. That'll be my fault. That'll be on you. That'll be on me. That won't be on God. That'll be on us. Because He gives us the power. And He gives us the strength. He gives us the truth. And then He tells us that we should logizomai. We should reckon this. And if I have time, I'll go into what reckoning really is. Logizomai. So, sanctification, being separated by God, gives us a newness of life. It gives us a union with Christ in His death and resurrection. It gives us a freedom, a liberty. It gives us a freedom. And it gives us this, all of these things under grace. All right, newness of life. Let's look at Romans 6:4. Therefore, we are buried with Him by the baptism into death. Now, somebody could say, well, does this involve water baptism? During the Acts period, Paul did baptize with water. He did it sparingly compared to other disciples, but he did, in fact, baptize a few people during the Acts period. So it could be that this identification with these truths in Romans did for them come by way of water baptism. For us, that is not the case. For us, according to our calling, the principles of washings and rituals and of observances of holy days are and such, and of a worshiping of angels are not supposed to be acknowledged by us in our calling. So we are identified spiritually in the death of the Lord, in the baptism unto His death. All right? Because we, in fact, in our calling, have been buried. We have been raised and seated in the Son of God. So the same principles, in a sense, do apply to us, if you catch what I'm saying to you. So in Romans 6:4 it states, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should we walk in the newness of life. So what's happening is this, is that in fact the Son of God took on the sins of the world, even though He was sinless. He took on the guilt of sin of all of us so that we could be rendered guiltless. And maybe I can read this real quick here. One of my questions was this: after being justified and sanctified, can we fall into sin? That's a question. Romans 6 discusses continuing or living in sin. Romans 6:2. Let's look at Romans 6:2. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So it's not a matter of being able to still sin, even though our old man was crucified with Christ. The idea here is living in it. It's our manner of living. Some might call this a lifestyle. That is, after being justified and sanctified, our lifestyle, we can never should we be said to have a lifestyle of sin. Are we still tempted? Yes, we are. The fact of the matter is, if any one of us has been justified by faith in the work of the precious blood of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit working within us would not lead us into living in sin, but rather justification through Christ. This means death to sin, that is really especially the guilt of sin. What I'm saying here is this, is that Romans 6:2 states, what shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Shall we have a lifestyle of sin? While being sanctified by God, the Holy Spirit would lead us out of that. That is what the Holy Spirit, I believe, is teaching here. That being justified and sanctified by the Father Himself through the Son, this power leads us out of a life of sin. And in fact, if we are reckoning these truths correctly, we are delivered from the guilt of sin. Can we still sin is the question. While we live in a body, our flesh, that is sold unto sin, more or less, it can do nothing else but sin. But thank the Lord through Christ Jesus that our old man in the mind and of God is truly and in fact crucified with His Son. So that is why the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul goes on in Romans 6 and it talks about yielding your members. And then in our calling it talks about our members being mortified, which means you put them to death. Is there a battle still going on? Yes, there is. And it will go on until we are completely dead. And what do I mean by that? Well, here's a thought. Even though we are made dead to sin and have been buried and raised and seated in Christ, as a matter of fact, death itself, death has not been absolutely destroyed yet. What? How can we be dead to sin, buried with Christ, and still death hasn't been destroyed yet? How does that all make sense? Well, you see, Almighty God is working out His plan of the ages. And He does things in proper time. Death won't be destroyed until after the millennial kingdom. Absolutely, the absolute destruction of death is in Revelation 21, 1 through 4. We won't read it. But that's when death will be absolutely destroyed. The evil one will be destroyed also. But in the mind of God, your old man is dead. And he wants you to reckon. He wants you to logizomai, to reckon, to account that to be true, just as he sees it to be true. And then from then on, he wants you to live sanctified by his power. Does that mean that you are dead while you're still alive? But your old man is dead, and now your lives are sanctified for service unto God. And other scriptures talk about your reasonable service. Well, what does that mean? That means that reasonably, knowing all these things, you should serve God, right? I mean, we would be some pretty difficult children if we, and sons, and pretty nasty if we understood all these blessings of the Father and then decided, I have all that, I'm sanctified, I don't want to live for my dear Heavenly Father at all. Well, not only are you going to be a disappointment to him, but you're also going to run into a lot of problems in the flesh, for sure. So I guess basically saying to keep yourself out of trouble, God has already sanctified you, and he's already given you the power, he's already given you the understanding, and now the rest is up to you. And you can choose whatever you want to choose. Satan has not yet been destroyed, but his power that had its hold upon us through the bondage of the fear of death has been eliminated. And we are now set free to serve a new master. Can Satan still tempt us? Well, the word of God tells us that he can. Has his power of the bondage of death and the sting of death been eliminated? Yes, it has. So I suppose we would ask ourselves the question, well, what goes on in the here and now from now on? And that's what I'm addressing. I'm addressing this as being an answer that, again, you are holy ones that are separated unto God as your new master for his service, which is reasonable. Ephesians 2, 1 through 6 states this. So now we're bringing this over into our calling. And you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, that is Satan, the spirit that now works in the sons and the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, this sounds rather familiar. In a sense, in some senses, this duplicates things that we have found in Romans 6, except that it is a different dispensation. It's under a different sphere of blessing, and I could go on to explain what our working is, but the principles are still the same. That we served the lusts of our flesh, the masters of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. That is, the Father's wrath was dwelling upon us until we were justified and until we were sanctified and until we were delivered by the blood of the precious Lamb of God. This applies to us too, by the way. For by grace ye are saved, not of yourself. It is a gift of God. You know, so this applies to us too, you see. And so we are sanctified also, just like believers in Romans. And we have a power too, just like the believers in Romans did. This is really important for us to know. Being justified by God allows us to be sanctified by God, which naturally produces a holy, separated service unto God. To God. Not to living in sin. Why would we even consider living in sin anymore? So that grace may abound. That's ridiculous. Turn to Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to its deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness. For your old man was crucified with Christ, as Romans 6 states. So you put off that former conversation because you reckon your flesh, the old man, dead in Christ, but you put on the new man, which in fact is created in righteousness through the Son of God, and, hey, true holiness. All right? So that you have within you a work that is truly holy. I am not stating the everlasting soul by any means. We are living or dead souls. We are living souls. And we can be dead souls. What I'm stating is that through justification and sanctification by God and through the righteousness that's in the blood of Christ, that we walk and we are a holy working of God. And that is put in us through the sealing of the Holy Spirit. So we walk in service to the Almighty, just like believers in the book of Romans did. But we still have to put off the former conversation of the old man, even though in the mind of God, he's totally and completely dead. And see, this is our service, and we are learning through this battle that we have on earth while we still are in this body of flesh. The Lord knows that. He knows every second of your life. He is, in fact, with you through it all, through every second, through every minute, because you are sanctified unto him. And the problem, where we run into problems, is we forget, I forget to reckon these things in my life daily as I walk, because I'm tempted away from the power of it as I live each day. And so that doesn't deny the fact that we are still a holy work of God. And furthermore, our Ephesians tells us that God preordained or foreordained good works of His to be in every one of us, and that they will be carried out in fact, and that we will walk in them. Ephesians 3:10. Oh, well, no, I got that wrong. I'm sorry. It's Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Therefore, we understand through such things in our calling that we are too, in fact, set apart and sanctified unto God Himself. We have a freedom. That means we have a liberty. Let's turn to Romans 6. I want to mention something a little bit in the last 10 minutes that I have about one thing about religion that came to my mind as I was studying this, because I was an altar boy in a Catholic church way back when. They preach the blood of Christ, but then they totally have so much religious malarkey in that church going on that they really don't quite understand what they're doing at all. They do one thing there, and I'm not just climbing on them, but it has to do with confession. It has to do with confession. Now, if we turn to Romans 6, we find that we have a liberty. We were set free from the bondage of sin, once and forever. It's not something that you have to redo and redo and redo. It is done and buried in the Son. The old man, the sin, is buried and taken care of in the Son of God. That is the fact of the Father. That is the reckoning that we should understand. Romans 6, 2 through 7. God forbid, how long shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by the baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so shall we walk in the newness of life. We died in the Son of God, and we walk in the newness of life. This is the here and now. This is the factual matter of us as adopted sons of God. We died in the Son, our old man died in the Son, but this life has a tremendous meaning to it after we've been saved, if you want to put it like that. We are the workmen of God Himself anymore. And where we get confused is we're tempted to think that, well, we've been saved and we just have to live our lives out like anybody else, like any regenerate man, non-regenerate man or woman, like any child of disobedience, like any child of wrath. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. We have been chosen out from that, according to Ephesians 2. And we walk in the newness of life. We are sanctified by God Himself for His service. So we are different anymore. We are different anymore. We walk in a newness of life, and that is a basic fundamental truth that I spoke about as Romans 6 states. It goes on in verse 5 of Romans 6. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing that this our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That is to say, our master is not sin anymore. And as Ephesians 2 states, we don't walk under the power or the prince and the power of the air anymore. Can we be tempted? Yes. Can we fall at times? Yes. That is our battle. That is what we have been left to deal with through the power of God as we walk this earth. And this has to do with His purposes for our learning and for His glorification. And if that wasn't true, we would be gone. We would be taken out of here. There would be no reason for us to be here anymore. We have people to teach. We have young ones to teach. We have old ones to teach. We have those who question us to stand for the truth. Many things we have to do, you know. In verse 14 of Romans 6, it states, "But sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but you are under grace." So what grace did is that through the grace of the shed blood of Christ, sin doesn't have dominion over you anymore. So there should be a difference, and there is a difference, and there is a power that works in us, that makes the difference, that helps us to understand and to know that we are the adopted sons of God and separated unto God. That's what Romans 6 states. Galatians 2, 19 and 20 is where Paul talks about this principle. Galatians 2, 19 through 20, I have three scriptures to read and then I'll be done. Galatians 2, 19 and 20. "For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." A heavy, heavy statement. So we walk in this grace of God, and we don't frustrate this grace by going back to the law of God, because we're freed from the edicts of the law, which produce death. So this bondage of sin has been taken care of once and for all, forever, in the mind of God, for eternity. Religion would have you go back and confess your sins every week. I did this and I did that. And then supposedly a man can absolve you. That's terrible. That's satanic, more or less, because you are totally absolved and totally set free from sin once and for all in the Son of God. That's what Romans 6 and the book of Romans teaches. Religion places men back in bondage in a veritable vicious cycle of bondage. And they do this as a matter of control. That's what it is. You are free. You have a liberty in the Son of God. You are set free from the guilt and the bondage of sin forever. Logizomai, I'll get to that next time, this reckoning. Because the reckoning, the logizomai, has to do with a number of things that works a number of things with your mind. God wants you to reckon these things in your mind as being true, because in fact they are. And see, what am I talking about? Let me try to fit this in. Question: how do I, as a believer in Christ, experience the reality of these blessings? What does the right here and now in my life on earth? What does the Holy Spirit teach through the Apostle Paul in Romans 6 on the matter? It has to do with Romans 6:11. Read that. Romans 6:11. Let's turn to that. This has to do with the reckoning. What is that? What does that mean, reckoning? Logizomai is the Greek form. Likewise, reckon yourselves also. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Dead, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you reckon these things. What does logizomai mean? Well, it means a number of things. Thinking reasonably and rationally according to facts. It means concluding by balancing the facts. It means taking account of the facts. This is how the Father wants us to think, by the way. It means that we impute these facts as being true. We have this in our minds, people. In our minds. Because that's where the battleground is. It's in your mind anymore. Even if the Lord killed your body, it's meaningless anymore. You're raised and seated with the Son of God and hidden with Him at the right hand of the Father. Nothing in anybody's wildest dreams can touch that. If Satan killed the body, so what? But our battleground is in the mind, so our God wants us to think correctly. So He wants to reckon these things in our minds continuously as being fact, through reasonably thinking about the facts, by concluding truth, by balancing these facts of God, by accounting. We take account of these facts, and then we impute these facts in our lives as being true. You know why? Because they are. That's why. And if we walked around like this continuously, then we would be right where we should be all the time. But in fact, none of us does. And therein we have the battle, and we'll be looking at that as we go on in Romans, Romans 7, Romans 8. Do we have a power, in fact, available to us to perform and to acknowledge the things that were mentioned tonight? In fact, we do. Ephesians 1. Turn to Ephesians 1, and I'll end with this. This is in our calling again. And I'm kind of overlaying Romans 6 with our calling, because, as I stated, they are fundamental truths that work out in us being chosen sons of the church, which is the fullness of the Son of God. Ephesians 1. And see, Paul prayed that we might understand the power that works in us, so that we can acknowledge these things just as the Father does, as being facts, because in fact they are fact. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye might know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance is, actually in the Holy of Holies, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power, and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. The power is available to us. There's absolutely no doubt about it. The Apostle Paul prays that we might understanding this exceeding power that raised His Son from the dead. The power is available. The reckoning is available. The sanctification is true. And that is my lesson for this evening on the first half of Romans 6. Thank you very much, and I prayed that it would be edifying to all of us, especially myself, because I'm as much or more of a failure as anybody. So I need these things, to know these things, to reckon these things, to know who I am in the Lord as much or more than you do. Thanks very much. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your blessing upon us this evening, Your reading of Your precious Word, and we thank You for all these glorious facts that we have in the work of Your Son. And what this does is this helps us understand how tremendous Your work was in redeeming us through Yourself in the Son of God, God in the flesh, our Head and our Savior. May we constantly learn about You and how glorious and how great Your work towards us and Your love towards us really is. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Head. Amen.